Our second scripture reading this morning is a short scripture reading, but it's just packed full of meaning. It comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and I think everyone's heard this before, but it bears repeating. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, as I was growing up, my father used to, on a quite regular basis, take me aside and say, "Son, you're spending way too much time on the path of least resistance here." And he says, "If you keep it up, you're never going to succeed at anything." Well, I was a teenager, so of course I knew better. So whenever I had a tough assignment in school, the course of least resistance would lead me to wait until the night before something was due, and then stay up late and cram and try to get something written, just to have something to hand in. And as you might expect, my grades somehow always seem to reflect that approach. We live in a world that loves shortcuts. We love the easiest way. We love the fastest way. We love the way with least hassle. We crave convenience. We gravitate towards the smooth path, the path of least resistance, because it doesn't demand much from us, at least not initially. Think about how we approach weight loss these days. We don't want to eat better. We don't want to exercise. We want a pill. We want a patch or a machine that vibrates the fat away while we watch TV. We want to lose weight in our sleep. The commercials promise effortless transformation. Just sit back and let the magic happen. But what usually happens? We spend our money, we get our hopes up, and then more often than not, and I can testify to this, we end up right back where we started, and sometimes even worse than before. But here's the truth. The path of least resistance rarely leads to where we think it will. Jesus knew that. He told us all about it plainly. He didn't soften the message. He said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." That's the path of least resistance. The road that asks nothing of us, requires no sacrifice, no change, no surrender. It's the easy way, right up until it isn't. Now, obviously, Jesus wasn't talking about physical roads. He was talking about our lives, our choices, our habits, the direction we're walking without even realizing it. You know, I almost hate talking about this because I know I'm so guilty of it. After all, who doesn't want an easy, stressless life, especially in retirement? You've worked hard. You've paid the price. Now it's your turn. Take it easy. Enjoy life. Time to kick back and do all those fun things you couldn't do when you were working. Buy a boat. Take a trip. Indulge yourself for a change. After all, you've earned it. Now, to be real clear, none of these things is inherently wrong. Joy, rest, recreation, they're all gifts from God. There's nothing sinful about traveling. There's nothing sinful about enjoying good food. There's nothing sinful about finally having the time to do all those hobbies that you've put off for so long while you were working. When comfort becomes our goal instead of Christ, we risk drifting down the road. That's the danger of the path of least resistance. The danger isn't in the activity itself, but letting those things become the center of our lives. The broad road is inviting. It feels easy, and if you look around, everybody seems to be on that road. It doesn't require effort, no struggle, no self-denial, no obedience. It promises happiness. It promises security. But beneath the surface, it hides a terrible truth. Without Jesus, it leads not to life, but to sorrow, not to joy, but regret. Then there's the narrow road. Small is the gate, narrow is the way. It doesn't attract the crowds. It doesn't glitter. It isn't easy. It requires surrender. It requires trust, and it asks something from us. But Jesus told us it leads to life. And here, I think, lies some of the tension in our lives at First Christian Church. In the life of this church, will we take the broad way, the easy way, the path of least resistance? Or will we walk the narrow path, the road that leads to life? Proverbs touches on this. Listen to Proverbs 21. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And Proverbs 15, the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. Sluggard, that's not a word we use much anymore these days. And just to be clear, it's not about people who are physically tired, people who are worn out from a lifetime of faithfulness and service. We've all been there. It's not about needing a nap or needing to slow down as we get a little older. The Bible's idea of a sluggard isn't about pace. It's about posture. It's someone who over time becomes spiritually passive, who avoids responsibility, who drifts instead of deciding, who puts off the hard things that matter the most. And to be honest with you, I see myself far more than I'd like to admit in that. It's not just about laziness, it's about choosing comfort instead of calling. That's why these proverbs matter, not to accuse us, but to wake us up. Now, I don't know about you, but I get dozens of emails every single day. Every single day, the inbox is full. Many of them require me to make some little decision about something and decide about something, and they become very easy to put off. I don't want to take the time to think or to mess with it right this minute, so I just move on to the next email, always vowing to come back to that one and take care of it a little later. Well, there's a reason I have several thousand emails waiting in my inbox. I've managed to take many small tasks and turn them into a major project, and I'll have to clean it up one of these days, which I plan to do one day soon, right after I clean out the garage and fix all those other things that I've been storing in there. The more diligent and upright in life, however, walk a different path. It may start harder, but over time, God makes it level, not because it gets easier, but because character grows stronger. And here's something else important to remember. Not everyone who takes the path of least resistance is lazy in life. Some people are incredibly driven, organized. They're successful in their careers. They're successful in their education. They achieve their ambitions. They work hard. They get up early. They achieve. And yet, maybe taking the easy road spiritually. How is that possible? It's possible because success in life doesn't mean surrender in the heart. You can be winning in business, but withering in spirit. You can be admired by others and still be avoiding God. You can be accomplishing great things and yet never pausing to pray, never opening your Bible, and never asking, Lord, what do you want from me? The broad road is full of high achievers. It's not just the lazy who walk it, it's the self-sufficient, the ones who feel no need for God because, after all, life is just going so well. But Jesus said that road, the road without God, ends in destruction. I'll always remember the quote from Stephen Covey's book, and I'll paraphrase. He wrote The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and this is paraphrasing his statement. He said, if your ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step you take just gets you to the wrong place faster. Spiritual apathy can wear a suit. It can live in a big, beautiful home. It can look like success on the outside while quietly starving on the inside. So there is a difference between taking the path of least resistance in life and walking the narrow path spiritually. One can work tirelessly, reach all their goals, and still miss a deeper calling, the invitation to walk closely with Christ. The Apostle Paul touches on this in Romans chapter 5. We also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Think about that. Glory in suffering? Who does that? The world runs away from suffering. The world says avoid suffering at all costs. Find the escape hatch. But Paul says there's a purpose in the struggle. Suffering isn't the end of the road. It produces perseverance, and perseverance shapes our character and creates hope. This is not the path of least resistance. It's the path of refining. You see, the easy path makes us soft. The hard path makes us strong. The easy path leaves us shallow. The hard path takes us deep. The easy path feeds our pride. The hard path humbles us and teaches us to rely on God. And who better to teach us than Jesus himself? On that dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus fell to his knees and he summed it all up for us when he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now don't miss this. Jesus asked his Father if there was another way. He wasn't pretending. He was expressing a horrible, overwhelming, crushing weight of what lay ahead. Betrayal, unbelievable pain, death on the cross. And in that moment, Jesus clearly saw two paths before him, one that would avoid the pain and one that would fulfill the will of his Father through suffering and death. Jesus didn't choose the path of least resistance. He chose obedience. He chose faithfulness. He chose the cross. Why? Because Jesus saw beyond the pain. He saw the victory on the other side. And here's what's important. Because he loves us. Paul continued this theme in Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This verse is for those who feel weary. How many times I've heard conversations about how old we're getting as a congregation, how tired we've become, how much we've already given to the church, and now we're just all wore out. I know this because I've said it myself a number of times. That might be us today. We might be trying to walk the narrow road. We've been working hard. We've been serving faithfully. We've been praying and forgiving and loving. But sometimes we just stop and wonder, is it all worth it? But Paul says, don't quit. Keep going. The harvest will come. Not because the road is easy, but because God is faithful. The path of least resistance always looks appealing, but it always costs more in the end. It may offer temporary ease, but it robs us of our spiritual goals. Just like my grades in school reflected my choice to follow the path of least resistance, there will come a day when our life assignment comes due, and I really don't think we want to get a poor grade. Now, what does this mean for First Christian Church Grand Junction and for us sitting here today? I think it means that we need to ask ourselves some hard questions. Are there places in my life where I am taking the easy way? Am I avoiding conversations that I need to have? Am I ignoring a calling God has placed on my heart because it's so big and feels uncomfortable? Am I clinging to a habit because it's easier than changing? Am I more concerned with being comfortable than being faithful? Now, I got to tell you, I absolutely cringe when I think about how I might have to answer these questions. And I promise you, I am not trying to be the pot calling the kettle black. These are questions I think we all need to wrestle with, because the truth is, every day we choose a path. Every thought, every action, every word, every decision is shaping the road beneath our feet. Jesus isn't calling us to take the easy way. He never did. He said, take up your cross and follow me. But here's the beautiful irony. The narrow path starts hard. It becomes a place of deep peace. Though it requires sacrifice, it brings lasting joy. Though it demands perseverance, it produces a hope that never fails. So here we are, standing at the crossroads for our church. The broad road is noisy. The broad road is crowded. The broad road is flashy. The narrow road is quiet, steep, and feels lonely at times. But don't be deceived by appearances. One road leads to life, the other to ruin. Now, the last time I got to preach up here, some people didn't hear what I was saying, but what I did say was that when Kevin leaves, I kind of like writing a sermon because it causes me to reflect on my own shortcomings and to take a deeper look at what God has to say about the choices I make in life. The path of least resistance isn't a road. It's a mindset. It's the default setting of the human heart. But we are called to something higher. As disciples, we are called to follow Jesus, who walked the hardest road of all. And because he walked it, we can walk it too. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. As we move forward, as our various committees and ministries meet, as we make plans, we will reach up. We will fix our eyes on Jesus and walk step by step toward the life he has promised. And if we do that, the result, whatever it might be, will be the right result. Please pray with me. Gracious God, God of all ages, God of all time and eternal purpose, you have called us to walk a path that is not always easy, but one that leads to life. We confess that we often look for shortcuts, for comfort, for the easier way. Forgive us when we have chosen convenience over obedience and ease over faithfulness. Give us the courage, Lord, to follow you through the narrow gate. Strengthen us when we grow weary. Remind us that we do not walk the road alone, that you are with us every step of the way. Help us not to measure our lives by the world's standards, but by our willingness to surrender to you. Make our hearts bold, our hands ready, and our faith steady. Shape our character through perseverance, and fill us with the hope that only you can give. We choose today, Lord, to walk your path, trusting that it leads to true life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.